KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect would like to thank Essenmacher Family Dental for their support of KLYT, with services including children's dentistry, preventive dentistry, and more. Their new Albuquerque office is located at 8310 Palomas Avenue Northeast, Suite C, 505-372-0086, or online at essenmacherdental.com. Holly Slade, the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids in Studio, just got off an airplane and got to the KLYT studio.
I did.
Live radio, you're like a specialist now.
Man, you just keep me hopping. Keep me on my toes.
I was complimenting Marcy Patton with Johnny and Friends because she just comes right in and gets going now, just like you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, Holly, you're doing some important work, but I think we need to maybe reiterate some things that you told us last time you were in studio. COVID and coming back to school has exacerbated the problem of kids not having food on the weekends, and resources are short.
Resources are short. Resources are definitely short. Right now, we are actually serving organization-wide well over 3,000 backpacks per week. And so the main warehouse, which is mainly supported by Calvary, they're doing over 2,000 snack packs per week. And so what we're doing is we're ending up spending on average about $7,500 a week on food for these, which is still really reasonable. We average between $3.88 a snack pack, and sometimes it goes up toward $4. As you know, food costs are rising.
And we should reiterate that about 99% of your money is going to food.
Yeah, about 98% right now going to food. We do buy cardboard boxes to transport our snack packs in, packing tape to tape the boxes shut. And we also buy index cards, markers, and stickers because we have this amazing group of people that write encouragement cards that go inside the snack pack. But Feed New Mexico Kids does not pay any people. I'm not paid. None of the volunteers are paid. We have a wonderfully generous family in Albuquerque that has donated the warehouse space, and they donate the utilities for that. We have drivers that go out to 62 locations, all right, throughout three counties. Every single driver who delivers these snack packs, they pay for their own gas. Mm. I mean, it's unusual to find a nonprofit that has as little overhead as this one has, and it is completely volunteer.
And we want people that are interested in supporting the ministry. Your dollar for dollar, you're getting a big bang for your buck, and you're really helping kids. So we've said this a million times. I know you get tired of repeating yourself, but I think it's important for our audience because we do have a lot of new people listening. I think I told you this last time. Now that we're KLYT, we go all the way down to Las Cruces.
Yeah.
You know, and the reason that's important is right now you're not providing snack packs in Las Cruces, but a church listening in Las Cruces, you will show them how to create Feed New Mexico Kids and take care of kids on the weekends.
Absolutely. We have several churches that partner with us. And I call Feed New Mexico Kids kind of ministry in a box because we've got the art, we've got the systems down. We can tell you how to collect food, how to collect the money to order food if you want to order food, how to pack the snack packs. Even the order the gallon size bag should be packed in to get the most in the gallon bag without damaging the food. So we make it so easy, and then each church owns the program. So it becomes part of their congregation, part of their culture, part of their enthusiasm, part of their success to adopt a school in their radius and build the relationship with that school. So, you know, unlike a franchise where there's a franchise fee, there's no franchise fee. You know, our goal is not to make money in this. We're a nonprofit organization. Our goal is to get children fed. We have information. If you will feed children in your area, we will give you the information on how to do it efficiently.
I'm embarrassed to say that before I talked to you about this, I didn't know or didn't think about children that were, for example, in the Albuquerque public schools. I didn't think about them not being able to eat on Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
I never conceived that And by the way, compliments to the public schools that offer breakfast and lunch to kids.
Right.
I mean, more power to you. Thanks for spending tax dollars on that very valuable thing.
Absolutely.
But you described a five-year-old with nothing to eat on Saturday and Sunday, showing up for class at 8 o'clock and being expected to pay attention on the quiz for the morning.
Yeah. There's actually a little six-year-old boy, that was suicidal. And, he, you know, imagine a teacher having to do a suicide assessment on a six-year-old. When I was six, I don't think I knew the concept of suicide, right?
No.
And so he, thought that maybe his mom's life would be easier if he weren't around because his mom was working so hard. And if maybe if he wasn't around, then she would only have to worry about his brothers and sisters and not have to worry about him. So, counselors met with him. Obviously, that is a big wake-up call, in a child's life. And they started giving him snack packs and wrapping some support services around mom. 1 month later, the kid is very different. 6 months after that, he's just a radically different child, still getting his snack packs on Friday, looking forward to the weekend instead of dreading it. What we hear about kids who get snack packs is prior to getting their Friday snack pack, they dreaded the weekend because food insecurity really is defined as not knowing where your next meal is coming from. And so imagine what it's like. You're going home for the weekend. You don't know if you're going to have dinner Friday night. You don't know if you will have anything to eat on Saturday. If you get something to eat on Saturday, you have no idea what it might be. There are no snacks in the pantry. You know, it's not a matter of somebody saying, yes, you may or no, you may not. It's that there's nothing there. And some of the kids are living in motels. A meal might be a can of Coke from the vending machine and one of those snack-sized bags of potato chips. Maybe, maybe. One little guy told the cafeteria workers on a Monday, he was just going in and asking all the other kids that were having breakfast, are you going to eat that? Are you going to eat that? Are you going to eat that? And the cafeteria worker said, sweetheart, when was the last time you ate? And he thought for a minute and he said, well, my grandpa gave me some Cheez-Its yesterday.
Yeah, my heart just breaks when you tell us stories like this. This is a solvable problem.
Yes, it is. Yeah, we are in New Mexico. This is not like taking this on in, India. It's not like even taking on New York City or even Los Angeles. I mean, we don't have a huge population in this state, and yet we have population centers where we have disposable income. If you think about Albuquerque, Las Cruces, Santa Fe, Roswell, Ruidoso, I mean, Los Alamos. Just think about if those communities first took care of their own in their community, but then also went about taking care of those in a reasonable radius, right? We could eradicate this in New Mexico. We're talking about $4 a week for one child. All right. That's $16 a month, Jim.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled to death, really, that we are doing as many snack packs as we are. But we're only bringing in half the money that we need right now. So we have some money in savings, but every single week we have to dip into savings in order to pay for the snack packs that we're giving out. So we're operating on faith, but we're also coming to the faith-based public and saying, will you help? Will you take on one child? And if you have the ability to take on more, awesome. And some people like to do a one lump sum gift, and that's great too. But we as a community cannot stick our head in the sand any longer and think that our crime rates and our high school dropout rates and our gang rates and all of that are disassociated from hunger.
Yeah.
Hunger causes behavior problems. Hunger causes kids to drop out. Hunger causes kids to steal.
Yes.
You know, we have to just look at the reality.
I don't know why I have this on my brain, but I'm an old mortgage guy, so I have my HP 12C, right?
You go back
so
a ways.
I'm doing some math. Nobody young that's in the mortgage business knows what a 12C is.
Yeah, don't drop that. It's an antique.
It's like the oldest calculator. But, man, this thing is 30 years old and still works like it's brand new. So here's the funny thing. $500, if you're a business owner, maybe you could invest $6,000 a year, $500 a month. You're going to feed 125 kids. For a month. I mean, you are going to, or I'm sorry, for the whole year.
For the year.
You're going to feed 125 kids for the whole year, yeah. Saturdays and Sundays.
Yeah.
And let's say that we put together 10 churches in Las Cruces.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're taking care of all the kids that are hungry on the weekends.
Oh, and, yeah. Definitely.
In Albuquerque, you've got maybe 4,000. You're feeding 2,000 or 3,000 kids right now. If we got another 10 churches in Albuquerque.
Right. We really do need more churches in Albuquerque. We've got Calvary, which takes on about 2,000 snack packs a week. Legacy does about 1,000 snack packs a week. Faith Lutheran has two schools. Their numbers vary on those schools. Inspire ABQ is covering 7 schools in the very far South Valley. Redemption Hill just took on 2 schools. And
cool.
Then up in Rio Rancho, we've got High Desert Methodist. And then down in Valencia County, we've got Bosque Farms Baptist. But we do need more churches in Albuquerque because it's not designed for one or two churches to really take on that many schools. They will and they can. But the idea is for each church to take on schools in its radius so that you can build relationships. So that church and school can have relationship with one another. And when there is tragedy in the school, when there is additional help, APS is actually very open to forming community partnerships. Mm. And they even have a department dedicated to developing what they will call community schools, where they will partner schools with businesses and organizations in the community. It's not every day that you come across a public school system that is willing to do that.
Mm. Yeah. Well, and that's why Feed New Mexico Kids, you have a 501c3.
Yes.
By the way, volunteers might have to get a little background check if they're going to go on a school campus. You have people that have done that and paid for that themselves. It's pretty easy to get that done.
Yeah, right now during COVID, when we deliver the snack packs, we deliver them outside the school building.
Oh, okay.
So pre-COVID, we would take them inside the school building. Now, obviously, for obvious reasons, they want to keep people, keep as few people in the school building as possible. So we do the deliveries outside. But we build relationship with the family liaisons and the counselors and the nurses that are in the schools. And they give us a whole lot of feedback about what's going on with the kiddos. And we definitely have an increase. What has happened in Feed New Mexico Kids in past years is that it has actually doubled every year. So though we're at the 3,000 snack pack mark now, it's still early in the school year. And teachers and counselors are still identifying the student population. And that number is going to grow. Mm-hmm. So the need that we have right now, I know, will be higher. In November and December, it always is. You know, this is a pattern
in
that
tracks. In
addition
to the snack packs, though, you're also providing Thanksgiving meals
yes.
for families. You have an event coming up October 22nd, and you're going to teach people how they can find out how to feed New Mexico kids.
Yes.
It's going to be here in Albuquerque, and it's an event that is going to raise a little money for the ministry and maybe provide some education. So after this break, we'll talk more with Holly Slade. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how are stars formed?
Chris, evolutionists say that each star condensed out of interstellar clouds of gas. But think about it. How could this happen? Remember, space is a vacuum, and gas in a vacuum would be sucked out in all directions. How could this gas become so dense that it would collapse by its own gravity? The pressures pushing it out would far exceed the gravitational pressures inward. There have been a number of evolutionary suggestions to get the process started, but all of them start with stars in the beginning. They say that a nearby exploding star might send out a pulse of energy that would condense a cloud of gas, but the question is, where did the stars come from in the first place? Not how do stars in rare circumstances form other stars? The Bible says that God created stars on day 4 of creation week, and the evidence fits that back to Genesis truth.
This is Chris O'Brien. Thanks for going back to Genesis.
Every church is a prison ministry.
For Family Life Blended, here's Ron Deal.
Early in his ministry, Jesus declared his mission statement. The Spirit of the Lord, he said, anointed him to proclaim good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for prisoners, sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. That good news means churches today should be full of ex-convicts, figuratively and literally, people who were spiritually blind to their own sin and those pushed down by society. Well, that's just great, Ron, but I don't want them in my church. You know, it's funny how we draw lines of who's acceptable and who's not, which families fit and which don't. But then anyone making those judgments is still blind. For Family Life Blended, I'm Ron Deal.
To find out more, visit FamilyLifeBlended.com.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly Slade is a local realtor in Albuquerque with her husband Dave Slade. Dave Slade and Associates, we appreciate all their support that they've given KLYT in our ministry, but they put together this thing with Feed New Mexico Kids, and I think Dave is looking at you all the time and going, Holly, you're doing like 16 different things.
Well, he is, but he also knows that I have this amazing group of volunteers. The volunteers that are involved in Feed New Mexico Kids just truly amaze me all the time. I have a warehouse manager, Dennis, that probably spends 20, sometimes 30 hours a week just working Feed New Mexico Kids. We try and pay him for gas money. We try and do whatever. He won't take anything. And then I've got Chuck and his crew of drivers that every Friday they go up to Sam's Club with their half-ton and three-quarter-ton pickups and pick up pallets and pallets of food and take it back over to the warehouse and inventory it and put it away. And then we've got these volunteers that come in faithfully every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, pack all the snack packs, and then this whole team of drivers that go out like ants, you know, loading up their SUVs, their trucks, their cars, their whatever, and get these snack packs delivered all over the city. Mm-hmm. And I mean, far from where they live. People who are passionate about this, you know, when I say, is there a quadrant of town or an area of town or a radius that you'd like to work in? They say, send me where the need is. Don't care. Send me where the need is. And if you've ever been down to some of the really far South Valley schools, they're really, really far.
Yes.
You know, outside the city limits and really right at the border before you get to the Pueblo. And people drive down there every week with their own gas money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just amazing. I have a woman who does the inventorying and the ordering every week. Then there's another woman who thought up the idea of the encouragement cards. And she has recruited a team of amazing people that are cranking out 3,000 encouragement cards a week. Mm. I mean, do you know how hard that is? They have to buy all these index cards, keep them. So I reimburse them for those because that's expensive over time. But the index cards and the pins and the stickers. And she just dropped some cards off just recently. And an 80-year-old man wrote a bunch of the cards for us. Beautiful penmanship.
Mm.
And just with the encouraging sayings on them. So, you know, you can be any age, any stage, and get involved with this. Like I said, we've got some retired truck drivers and retired post office guys that are doing the heavy lifting. We've got people who enjoy, you know, the task work of the packing. We've got drivers everywhere. And we have people that prefer to do what they can at home. And they write these encouragement cards. It's just fantastic.
Amazing volunteers.
Yes.
And you need some more resources financially to buy food.
Yes.
Go to feednmkids.com. Go to the button that says get involved.
Mm-hmm.
And you can register your person. You can register your business. You can register your church. Holly and her team will call you. We had the fortune of meeting Tracy Rodden last week on the show.
You want to talk about a rock star volunteer right there.
Well, and she's helped you put together. Find out how you can feed New Mexico kids October 22nd at Calvary Church Westside.
She put that together. She got inspired to do that event, and she put it together and raised up a whole nother volunteer crew. And she brought along a gal, Sarah Conafani, who has been nominated for several Emmy Awards for her documentaries. And, you know, when we talk about people donating their time, treasure, and talent, Sarah donated her talent. This is like a $30,000, $35,000 documentary that she made on hunger in New Mexico, our backyard. kids that go to APS, and you will be astounded when you see what is in that footage. And I really hope people come. Tracy has worked so hard on this. We've got a pediatrician coming in to really sort of speak to the audience about what is going on in a child's life when they are food insecure. We're going to have raffle and prizes to give away. And the tickets are only $25. We didn't want to do one of these, you know, hotel $150 a plate. That just seemed to not fit with who we are, right? And we're going to have tables set up where people can pack a snack pack and see what it's like to pack a snack pack, touch, feel, handle the food that goes in it, meet a lot of the volunteers. It's just, she's put together this phenomenal event. I really, really want to encourage people to come. It's Friday, October 22nd, and there's a way to register if people want to go to the feed. NMKids.com website. They can register for the event right there.
And you can buy your ticket.
Yes, you can buy your ticket.
And you can buy 5 tickets if you want.
Yes, you can.
Because the money, again, is going to be used really efficiently.
Yes.
You're being provided the space. I don't think you're being having to charge rent.
Nope.
There's going to be some real good coffee there.
Yes, there is.
Sopo's going to be serving
yes,
coffee.
Yes, they are.
What would we do without coffee?
I don't know.
Holly?
I don't know.
Good thing it's not a morning thing because we need a lot of coffee. Well, I'm excited that people are invited. And again, you are ready to set up churches throughout New Mexico. This is Feed New Mexico Kids. The nonprofit is in place. You've earned this tremendous amount of credibility with the Albuquerque Public Schools, with the Rio Rancho Public Schools, with the Valencia Public Schools. Mm-hmm. You're not in all the schools. You're not in all the APS schools because you don't have the resources. And you've
right.
made a commitment because you're a businesswoman. You're not going to go take a few snack packs 1 month to a school,
no.
are you?
No. If we can't finish out the year, then we can't take on the school. There's nothing worse that you can do to somebody that's in an insecure place than create more insecurity. So the start and stop of that is not acceptable. So when we take on a school, we take them on for the long haul.
You mentioned a 5-year-old that was thinking about suicide.
Six years old. Mm-hmm.
And that's heartbreaking enough. But think about a 17-year-old high school girl. Mm-hmm. She's worried about what she looks like mm-hmm. and body image mm-hmm. and her clothes, and she has no food to eat. How much of an effect is it on older kids?
You know, I know 3 women who all grew up hungry. And
Tracy was one of them.
Tracy was one of them. Zanetta was one of them. And then Michelle Schroff has also mentioned that when she was growing up, she would have given her right arm for a snack pack. And it's interesting to hear what it was like and how they hid their hunger. And that's the hard part of it. When you're a teenager and you're hungry, you're less likely to tell your teacher or tell a counselor because there's shame and embarrassment. You don't want your peers to find out. And so they often remain hungry. And I think that that's where we get a lot of our dropout rates, a lot of our hangry teenagers that end up acting out. I think as adults, people joke around about being hangry. Well, imagine if you're in puberty or in the throes of your hormonal changes, you know, up and down and all around when you're a teenager, girl or boy. And now you add in there that you're hungry. And now you're also embarrassed about your hunger. And now you are physiologically angry, but you're also emotionally angry, you know, because you're a kid. Why as a kid do you have to worry about where your next meal is coming from? And so I think that if we can get underneath, if we can, you know, basically start at the base of Maslow's hierarchy of needs and start at least feeding kids, then we can help them with things that are a little further up the pyramid.
Yes. Well, I guess I have in my mind, people don't realize that this struggle is solvable.
Yes.
And I'm not talking about breaking the bank. I mean, I'm talking about, gosh, you can feed all the kids that need to be fed in New Mexico just by simply getting, I'm going to guesstimate 40 churches in the mm-hmm. entire state mm-hmm. would cover it.
Yeah.
And communities like Clovis and Portales and
yes.
Ruidoso and Farmington. And
yes.
We mentioned Las Cruces and Santa Fe, and a lot of these communities can listen to our station. I hope they are. And look, we want people to come out to the event because it is a fundraiser. It's Friday, October 22nd, 7 to 9, Calvary Church Westside, which is 6051 Winter Haven Road Northwest in Albuquerque, just north of the intersection of Montaño and Coors, and you'll see it. And people are invited to come in, drink some coffee, listen to yourself speak. You're going to have some samples, as you said, and then you're also going to have a pediatrician talk
yes.
about the effects of being food insecure.
Yeah. And the viewing of this documentary. This is the debut of the documentary.
Yeah.
And it's powerful, Jim.
Yeah.
It really is powerful.
I watched
powerful.
It.
Yeah. What did you think?
Well, it's so heartbreaking
yeah.
that we even have this. And I am convicted, Holly, that I didn't pay attention.
Yeah.
How could I not know this stuff was going on 5-6 years ago? You were 3-4 years into the ministry?
We started in 2017. I became aware of the issue in 2015, and honestly, I made the solution harder than it needed to be.
Mm.
I kept thinking, you know, first somebody has to do something, and then I thought, okay, you know, it's me. Here I am, Lord, send me. And then I thought I basically had to train up a sales team. I mean, I'm in real estate sales. We operate on sales teams. And I couldn't carve out enough time to kind of raise up and train a sales team, so to speak, you know, a volunteer sales team to go around all the churches. I thought that I had to get the churches recruited first before I went to the school and tried to do anything. And really through a lot of prayer and honestly prompting by Dave, we just flipped it. We went to Calvary. We said, hey, would you try it? You know, just try it for 6 months. And they said, yeah, let's try it and see if it works. And the enthusiasm was overwhelming. Called the school system and said, if we can get the right kind of food, can you get it to the right children? They said, absolutely. And so it was really sort of born the other way in a very simple way. And that allowed us to build these systems where we can bring it into a church of 50 people and they can be effective in their community. We can take it to a church of, you know, 15,000 and they can be effective in their community. We really do have a scalable program.
And by the way, there's examples of this. Dustin King, who's yep. an assistant pastor at Legacy Church,
mm-hmm.
his wife heard you talking on this radio station.
Right.
And said, hey, wonder if that would work at Legacy.
Right.
Dustin pursued it. You set them up. Now they're feeding 1,000 people every weekend.
Yeah. And it's volunteer sparked in every church. This is not a senior pastor necessarily. Senior pastors are busy enough.
Yeah.
This is somebody on staff or a motivated, passionate volunteer in the church who starts it and heads it up.
FeedNMKids.com. Register to involve your business, make donations, and to volunteer. Thanks, Holly, for joining us.
Thanks so much, Jim.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.